With large gifts come interesting conversations. They always seem to be the ones people are talking about. Did you hear about the $3 million that was given to the community college last week? Pretty amazing, huh? Or did you know that Sally got a BMW SUV from her husband for her birthday? Or can you believe all of those big Christmas presents parents give their kids these days? Kids don't even know how good they have it. It's so excessive. Or this final one, did you hear how that athlete gave $6 million to the Special Olympics? It's pretty cool, but I imagine he probably has plenty to spare. With large gifts, always come interesting conversations. I wonder why these kinds of gifts make us talk. Why does extravagance and abundant giving make us talk and sometimes criticize and at other times welcome? There's just something about abundance and extravagance that we are drawn to. Something that touches us inside and something that we wish we experienced more of. What's interesting about extravagant gifts is that it's okay for some people to give them, but not for others. If you have money, then large gifts are gratefully received and at times expected. But for those who don't have a lot of money, your giving habits are criticized if you give too much. They are considered wasteful and unwise because money should be sent frugally and for basic necessities first, and then the rest we can do with what we want. I have a good friend who fits into this category. She has struggled financially for years, and she has primarily waited tables or managed restaurants for her adult profession. Not a ton of money in that field, and the wages at times are often unpredictable. But she loves it. And she also suffers from what I call giver's syndrome. She's the most amazing giver and gifter I have ever known. Every Christmas, everyone in my family gets a present on time, and the most wonderful part is that they are gifts that are thoughtful and beautiful. She never misses my birthday and always creates something special to give me, even if it is a simple poem on a piece of paper. And she's usually that person that goes back to the table after we eat in a restaurant and drops an extra 10 on the table. Not necessarily because the server deserves it, but because she is generous and knows how people can struggle if they don't receive adequate tips. But I have also critiqued her. And she knows that people don't always approve of her giving behavior, but it doesn't matter. She just gifts extravagantly to those she loves and to those she thinks needs it. She lives in a world of abundance, not in a world of scarcity. Mary faces that same type of criticism in our text for today. She has taken an absurdly expensive gift, perfume, and poured it all over Jesus' feet. And the disciples do not understand. Particularly Judas, although he had some alternative motives. And we don't really get it either, do we? Sure, Jesus is special, but 3 years of wages on his feet? For one moment of honor? Mary is gifting him in response to all that he has been for her, with a gift that won't last, but with a gift that means something. Most of us are usually on the outside like Judas, right? Not recognizing her response as an act of faithfulness and sacrifice. Her gift just doesn't logically make sense, given all the other things that money could be used for. And we too criticize rather than welcome this extravagant gift. But sometimes, as Mary and Jesus show us very clearly in the text today, faith is extravagant. Sometimes giving comes not from what we have, but rather what we have been given. In other words, giving like Mary does in our text from our faith isn't always about the amount of material wealth we have, but comes from the gratitude that swells within our souls, yearning to share our joy from what we've been given. Mary offers a generous gift to Jesus for the very specific reason we're not really sure. Maybe in response to saving her brother Lazarus, maybe in response to the sacrificial act that Jesus is about to embark on as he heads into Jerusalem. Mary illustrates what a wild, faithful, and over-the-top response to Jesus could look like. Sometimes faith doesn't have to make sense or be calculated. Sometimes the budget needs to go out the window as we embark on a faithful, extravagant response to grace found in Jesus Christ. And Mary and Jesus invite us to a life that doesn't always make sense compared to the way most of us have been taught. Mary and Jesus invite us to a life of faith that is not bound to scarcity. Prior to the pandemic, we church leaders thought we had things down, right? We lived in this age of strategic ideas and proven methods of operation. If anything, this pandemic has reminded us that we do not know which way the wind will blow and nothing is for certain. Today, however, Jesus and Mary are reminding us that there is enough for all. And the enough that we are measuring isn't always about balanced budgets or the accumulation of material stuff or helping everyone in the world become financially secure and middle class. Instead, it challenges us to remember the radical, disproportionate, extravagant giving is welcome in our faith. Old Testament scholar and retired seminary professor Walter Brueggemann has written extensively about this notion of scarcity and abundance. He writes, quote, "We who are now the richest nation are today's main coveters. We never feel that we have enough. We have to have more and more, and this insatiable desire destroys us. Whether we are liberal or conservative Christians, we must confess that the central problem of our lives is that we are torn apart by the conflict between our attraction to the good news of God's abundance and the power of our belief in scarcity. A belief that makes us greedy, mean, and unneighborly. And we spend our lives trying to sort out that ambiguity." He continues, "The conflict between the narratives of abundance and of scarcity is the defining problem confronting us at the turn of the millennium. The gospel story of abundance asserts that we are originated in the magnificent, inexplicable love of God who loved the world into generous being. The baptismal service declares that each of us have been miraculously loved into existence by God, and the story of abundance says that our lives will end with God, and that this well-being cannot be taken from us. In the words of St. Paul, neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things, nothing can separate us from God. What we know about our beginnings and our endings, then, creates a different kind of present tense for us. We can live according to the ethic whereby we are not driven, controlled, anxious, frantic, or greedy, precisely because we are sufficiently at home and at peace to care about others as we have been cared for." So Mary and her extravagant gift are challenging us to to lean into God's abundance, where our lives begin and end with God's extravagant love for us, loved into existence and ending in the peace of God's care. Live your faith with extravagance, inhabiting a space that rests on God's generosity to you and to the world. Live from a location that doesn't critique or embrace others in generosity, but position yourselves to be open to God's nudge for compassion, justice, and charity, giving thanks to God through your own imitation of it, loving and caring extravagantly for the world around you. Live your faith in response to the gratitude that you have for second chances, for hope in the life to come, and a life that begins and ends with God, where nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen.